We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Excellent, excellent. Welcome back to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and greetings to all our new podcast subscribers. We've had a bunch of podcast subscribers recently. And also those people that are checking us out on Spotify, thank you for those follows, I think they are. They're little hearts or something. I can't not keep up with it all, but thank you for reaching out from there. And if anybody has an Alexa, you might try this. You might go up to Alexa and say, Alexa, play Redemption Church Plano podcast, and she will play you the latest episode. So check that out. That is pretty cool, I think. Dearly beloved, we are here today to lay some things to rest. We are in our sermon series, and it is called what?
Funeral.
It's called Funeral. Last week, we talked about the first funeral, and many of you texted in your memories of the first funeral you attended. Thank you for sharing your memories with us. I wanted to tell you that death is an important part of life. Have you ever measured time with a funeral? Does that make any sense to anybody? Well, let me kind of explain. This past week, we were up in Oklahoma City, the beautiful Elk City, Oklahoma, visiting Sarah's family. And Sarah was talking to her dad, and she said, Dad, how long have you had this dog? And her dad, Barney, said, we got this dog the year your grandmother passed away. And right there, I just was like, whoa, he marked his time by a funeral. In fact, there are times where you mark things by a funeral, you don't even remember the year as much as you remember the feeling, the loss. And somehow that is really found a place in the way you think, in the way you remember, in the way you gauge time itself. Have you ever marked time with the memory of a funeral? Perhaps you have seen someone else remember the years go by this way. Maybe somebody else has done that, and you've caught that, and that can catch you a little strange. It's a little interesting that we think that way about death, but it's because death is an important part of life. A funeral is a major happening. It is almost like death makes time stand still for a moment, and that it leaves behind a recallable timestamp that you are able to go back to immediately. Our nation has dates that have to do with death, and they're dates that people don't forget very quickly. The Challenger shuttle explosion was in 1986. It was in January. It is a day that many elementary students like myself will never forget. Many of us were watching it live on TV as it happened. The day, November 22nd, 1963, when JFK was shot in Dallas, Texas. An indelible moment. A lot of people remember the moment. They talked this way. Where were you when you heard the news? December 7th, 1941 is a day that continues to live in infamy. It is the day when Japanese forces attacked Pearl Harbor. That is a day that I'm telling you we should never forget that day. September 11th, 2001. You know this. The day the unthinkable happened. Terrorists hijacked four planes, sent them on a collision course with people on the ground. You know, as we grow older, we meet people that weren't alive in the year 2001. And there's like a gap, an experience gap for some of us. We're like, how do you not know about that? And it's a wild stuff because that was such an indelible thing. It's hard for us, okay, boomer generation, it's hard for us to move on and go, whoa, there are other people that don't have that shared experience, because that death that happened on that day marked our lives. Death is an important part of life. Death helps us to remember to number our days. Does the Bible tell us to do that? Absolutely. Psalm 90 and 12 tells you, Lord, teach us to number our days. It helps us to remember that our life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James chapter 4, verse 14. Death gives us an honest perspective on what is important and what is not important. And these moments of clarity are unforgettable. When you have a moment like this, you don't need to read a self-help book. You suddenly realize, whoa, I have been focusing on a lot of unimportant things. Because death is an amazing teacher. Death has a way of defining our days. Funerals have a way of marking our timeline. I would imagine that you, or you who are listening, watching online today, that you have timelines marked with funerals. There are 365 days in a year, but your memory of an entire year can be encapsulated in a single day. Anybody agree with that? In fact, you can't even think of a year without thinking, perhaps, of a death. In your Bible, there are some funerals that mark time. As we think about the timeline of Scripture, it helps to understand that what we are reading is before or after Abraham. What we're reading is before or after Moses. There's this whole timeline, and it's easy to get lost in it. Is it before or after King David? Is it before or after the exile into Babylon? Is it before or after the crucifixion of Jesus? Before or after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Is it before or after the first martyr, Stephen? All of these things are really good to have in your mind when you are studying Scripture. There is one particular funeral which meant a great deal to many people. And it continues to serve as a marker for time. Let's look at the Word of God together, turning to Isaiah chapter 6 and 1. 6 and 1, Isaiah chapter 6 and 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Does that sound like a year that was marked by a funeral?
Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about the year King Uzziah died. Historians say that King Uzziah died in 740 B.C. 740 B.C. The prophet Isaiah, however, did not start his chapter by saying, in 740 B.C., Uzziah died. Or in 740 B.C., this happened. While technically true, it's technically true, the number of the year was not the message that Isaiah was trying to communicate. You see, 740, that's just a number. But the year that King Uzziah died, that's a heart, feeling, emotion. Do you understand that difference? Yes. So who is this King Uzziah? Let's learn a little bit about your Bible. This is an important Bible character in the Old Testament. He is one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. Did you know this? King Uzziah. And the subject, kings of Israel, may not be a strong suit of yours. I get that. So let's learn a little bit together. So I would like to help you learn a little bit today about where kings are in the book, in the Old Testament. To the original readers of this scripture, they definitely had knowledge of King Uzziah. Nobody said, who's that again? That's us. These many years later, that's who we are. But they, every one of them, knew exactly who King Uzziah was. And not only did they have knowledge of it, they actually felt an emotional connection to his name being mentioned. Like many of the emotional connections we shared talking about the Challenger explosion, 9/11, JFK. There are emotional attachments to that. I want you to get into the mind of an ancient Hebrew that they had that same thing happen when the words were written in the year King Uzziah died. if we were to graph the success of the kings of Israel, it would start off with Saul, King Saul. And let's say that Saul grades a success rate of about 4 out of 10, give or take. 4 out of 10. Not the worst, not the best, just kind of there. King Saul. Let's rate him about 4 out of 10. And after Saul came David. Now, David, did he rank higher or lower maybe on this success? Higher, right? It's like the price is right. It's right. What is it? It's higher, yes. Lower. The can of soup, you fool, it's a dollar. All right. What is $200, Alex? Wrong game. All right. So let's grade David like a 7 or 8. So we got a 4. We're up to a 7 or 8. People are excited in Israel. And then David, he has a son that takes over. His name is
Solomon.
And Solomon built on his father's successes and took Israel to its greatest height. So let's just call him a 10. A 10 or a 9, but above the success even of his father. He built on that success. Then, after Solomon, everything falls apart. It's just like, boo! There's a guy named Jeroboam and a guy named Rehoboam, and they aren't related, but they split the country right in half. It's amazing what happens. It's some crazy stuff. Jeroboam and Rehoboam are not related. They're not twins. It sounds like cute twins' names. It's not, but the point is, everything falls apart. So we started at 4, went to like 7 or 8, went 9, 10, boo, all the way down to the bottom, to the place that the whole thing just breaks in half. After Solomon, the nation of Israel actually divides into 2 kingdoms with 2 different kings. And then studying the kings of Israel just gets crazy, because then it's like all these, and it's like ping-ponging all these names in the northern kingdom and ping-ponging all these names in the southern kingdom. And guess what? Most of these people grade terribly.
Right.
They wish they were a 4. Saul's like, now you wish that we're still here. You've missed me yet, Israel, right? No, they were terrible. Just awful. Some of the dumbest people, perhaps, in the Old Testament were kings during this time. One king had this brilliant idea. You know what? We need to keep people from going to the temple because it's in the southern kingdom. We need to set up a way to worship our God. I've got a brilliant idea. Let's set up a golden calf and call it Jehovah. And let's come make sacrifices to Jehovah. This is in your Old Testament. What a brilliant idea that was. Raise your hand if you know that was a terrible idea. You would have been a better king than that guy. My gosh. I think it was Jeroboam. I think that was Jeroboam. Terrible ideas. These people were dumb. Dumb. The nation of Israel struggles for centuries under kings who grade around 2. If they're really good, they get up to maybe 3 or 4. It's bad times. Now imagine 250 years after Solomon, 250 years after the good old days, a king ascends to the throne who experienced success that reminds people of the prior glory of Israel's reign under David and under Solomon. Would you think Israel got a little excited about this guy? Yeah, does that sound good? This king's name was Uzziah. Uzziah was a good king. If they had a Mount Rushmore of the kings of Israel, Uzziah's face would be included alongside David and Solomon based on his accomplishments as a king. King Uzziah was intelligent and he was innovative. Dude was smart. Dude invented things. A smart king. He was led by God and defeated the enemies of Israel. Like, he defeated the the bad guys that they struggled with for 250 years. He kicked the Philistines so hard that we never heard from them again after Uzziah. Dude had it going on. He built fortified towers. He's like, we got to think with a new strategy. He builds these towers up in specific ways and specific places. Strategery, if you will. Strategy working. And it worked. And then he armed these towers with catapults. Dude invented catapults. No one can prove who invented catapults. But this guy put catapults and these firing arrow machines, crossbows type. Thank you, sirs. He's the engineer. We'll leave that to him. He puts them on these towers that are fortified. And now the enemy doesn't dare step across the land. He's actually the only king that actually enlarges the area of Israel. Israel actually gained ground under the kingship of
Uzziah.
He was such a powerful king that the enemies of Israel said, we're going to pay you tribute. The guys prior were like robbing Israel. They were running in and ransacking. They respected Israel none. Now they're like, hey, I think we should be your friend, King Uzziah. We're going to pay you tribute. All hell, King Uzziah. That's what they were doing. And your Bible says, Scripture says that King Uzziah's fame spread all over the world. It goes out of its way to say in Egypt, they were talking about King Uzziah. Everybody knew about this king. And for the first time in a long time, all of Israel's like, yep, that's my king Uzziah. Don't you dare say anything bad about my King Uzziah, Adrian. Don't you dare do it. King Uzziah was bringing Israel back to a place of prominence on the world stage. He was grading high, and some thought he could be another David. But then Uzziah dies. And he dies in a shameful and tragic way. Uzziah, perhaps having a lot of success, he grows prideful. And he defies God's commandments. He entered into the temple of God. He goes past the outer court where people are allowed. And he goes into the inner court, the holy place. You got the holy place. You got the most holy place beyond the veil. He walks up deep into the holy place, up to the very edge of the holy place, to the altar of incense. It's the last piece of furniture that you would visit before you walk into, past the veil, into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. He approaches the altar of incense to offer the incense to God himself. And in 2 Chronicles 26, 8 priests of God, 8 of them, not 1 or 2, 8 full-grown men who are priests, one of them the high priest, Azariah, they begged him to stop. He's just walking in as the king. No, please, king, stop. What are you doing? Imagine it was a tense moment. Imagine trying to tell the king you can't do something. But imagine this guy's about to get killed by God. Gosh, dangerous moment. But they're begging him, king, you can't do this. They begged him not to disobey God's command. God's word was clear that you must be a priest to stand in the holy place and offer incense to the Lord. This was regimented. Not just any priest. They had to select the priest for that day. And they would offer this sacrifice in the a.m. and in the p.m. in the morning and in the evening. And Uzziah thought that since he was king, he could just do anything. Because I'm having success, you know, I can do this. Uzziah did not realize that there is only one who is worthy to stand at the altar of incense as our king and as our high priest. There is only one, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands before the altar of incense and offers up intercession before God for us continually. There's only one that can stand in that place as king and priest, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes you just walk right into things, and Uzziah, you done messed up, because you are not that king. You are not that high priest. Only Jesus has the right to stand in the holy place and make intercession for us. Hebrews 9 talks about that in depth. The beloved king, Uzziah, he disobeyed the priests. He disobeyed the word of God. And as he stood with the golden censer in his hand, ready to burn the incense, leprosy broke out on the forehead of Uzziah. It broke out in such a way that everyone could see it. It was an instant thing. It says that the priests, they immediately took him away. And he all too happily left the presence of God that day. The beloved King Uzziah. This was the year that King Uzziah died. 2 Chronicles 26:19. Well, let's read it together. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. Verse 20. When Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at them, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. Verse 21. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. I want you to notice he was no longer in the palace. He was no longer allowed in the temple, in its outer court. He was banned. Imagine the mind of an ancient Jew hearing the phrase, in the year that King Uzziah died. The name evoked sadness. It evoked regret. It brought to memory a time where triumph gave way to tragedy. The fame of Uzziah was spread abroad, but now the shame of the leper was spread abroad. He was banned from the palace and temple, and he died in shame and regret, far from the presence of the Lord. The hopeful nation of Israel, which was experiencing resurgence, once again returned right back to its struggle and its ruin. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Not in the year 740 BC. In the year King Uzziah died. It was the year of the funeral. This year was marked by the funeral of a once great king. Can I preach to you today about the year of the funeral? Look at somebody, say, the year of the funeral. If there was ever a year in recent memory that was like the year that King Uzziah died, I think it may be the year 2020. This year is filled with a lot of funerals. This year, on a global and national level, we've experienced the threat of a third world war. Do you remember that? That was this year. I promise it was this year. The pandemic outbreak that has killed many and struck hearts with the fear. It's attacked many more in that level. An economic shutdown. Schools closed, businesses closed, churches closed. Racial unrest that leaves us feeling like we may never solve this problem. streets filled with violence and cries to either defend the police or defund the police. And you don't want to be in the middle of that. 2020 has felt like a long funeral. Say amen if I'm anywhere near the truth today. I can't help but think that one day we will describe this year not as the year 2020, but the year of fill in the blank. And then there's the heartache, the pain, and the disappointment that you may have felt on a personal level. We've talked about as a nation and as a globe, but now just you. You on a personal level. Some of you have been in the hospital ICU worried that you may have the virus. And they say, great news. You've only got double pneumonia and are about to die. And you're like, great. No, there's people watching online. That's your story. Some of you have been fighting cancer. Some of you know people in this very church that have been fighting cancer through all of this. Dean, bless his heart, went through 33 bouts of chemotherapy right in the middle of all this garbage. Some of you may have been the person that had the brave face. You know, you had to have the brave face for somebody else, but deep down, you aren't so sure that things are going to be okay. That's stressful. That's not enjoyable. Some of you have lost people. You've actually had funerals that you couldn't go to. So you had to figure out Zoom so that you could log in to a funeral to try to get closure. Some of you have been left alone. You feel alone. You feel depressed. You feel isolated. Some of you, for the first time ever, have needed assistance from your church. And you called your church and you were nervous about it. You called to learn about food pantries, food banks in the local area, because times are tough. Years from now, you may refer to 2020 as the year of COVID-19, the year of George Floyd's murder, the year you lost a loved one, the year you lost your job, on and on. There is something in this year that right now is a heavy burden to you. This year is the year of a funeral. Can anything good come out of a situation like this, a time like this? Well, thank goodness we can look to the Word of God. Let's look at the rest of our verse. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What we really need in the year of the funeral is to be able to say the following four words. I saw the Lord. Can somebody say those words with me? I saw the Lord. In a year of the worst calamity, God is still at his best. Amen. I don't know who or what you've been forced to bury and have a funeral for this year, but God, he can still be found in the year of the funeral. The answer to your problem is not making COVID go away. The answer to your problem is not getting the job. The answer to your problem is not to just get a little further down the road from your problem. Maybe you forget some of the hurt and sting of it. No, the answer to this year is to see the Lord. That is what the world needs. That is what I need. Am I the only one? Does anybody need to see the Lord this year? Bible's pretty clear about this. Seeing the Lord changes everything. You better believe it. It says that we shall be like him when we see him as he is. The rest of Isaiah chapter 6. It's not about the heartache of the loss of King Uzziah. The first few words, in the year that King Uzziah died. Seven words. After those seven words, he no longer talks about that heartache. He never talks about that funeral. He never talks again about that loss. It's not about the uncertainty of the future. It's not about the worry of tomorrow. It is not about the shame and judgment that can come from disobedience. The rest of Isaiah 6 is about seeing the Lord and receiving His word. To see the Lord, to hear His voice, and to receive that message. I have heard enough about the funeral. I want to see the Lord, and I want to receive His word. Some of you just need to get that in your heart right now. I've had enough of this heartache, and I've had enough of this tragedy, and I've cried enough, and I've worried enough. I'm ready for a change. I am ready to see the Lord and to receive His word. And if that is in your heart right now, my God, you're in the right place. You just found the right podcast right now, because we're going to hear from the Lord tonight. The rest of Israel may have continued to live in the funeral, but there was a prophet of God who had seen the Lord and heard His word. Having encounter with God, don't you know it can change your year?
Yes.
Yes, it can. I believe that the year changed for Isaiah when he saw the Lord. I believe his perspective and how he defined the year changed forever. It changed for good when he saw the Lord. It is time to change this year from the year that something died. Change it to the year that you saw God and you were certain He had a purpose for you. When was the last time you had that encounter with God? Anybody believe that today? That God has a purpose for them? When was the last time you saw Him and heard His word? It is time to change this year. Let's change it tonight. In the worst year of your life, you know God can still be seen. Right now, God can be seen. So who wants to see God? Isaiah 6:1, look at it one more time. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. It was the year of the funeral, but Isaiah saw the Lord, and guess what? The Lord was still alive. Amen. Uzziah had a funeral. God is still very much alive. Anybody have a God who's alive today? Yeah. Anybody excited about that? I don't mean to put down anything anybody's going through, but I want to tell you what I've purposed in my heart. I am done hearing about hopelessness. I'm done with it. I'm done hearing that nothing can be done. I am done hearing, well, you know, we've just got to get used to the new normal. I've had enough of this funeral. I want to hear about the Lord of life. And I want to hear straight from Him and receive His word tonight. Isaiah wants you to know a few things from his encountering the Lord. Here's number one, that the Lord is high and exalted. Say that. He's high and exalted.
High and exalted.
I want you to realize that the body of the king may be lowered into the ground. Uzziah lowered into that ground, never to be seen again. But my God is still high and exalted. If you haven't seen God this year, maybe it's simple. Maybe it's because you're looking down when He is up. Stop looking down. Look up where He is. In your Bible, it says to look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. Your redemption is getting close. And by the way, that's at a time when things are really hectic, when things are really worrisome, when the devil is doing his worst. The command comes to look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. When was the last time you looked up? I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to start looking upward. Stop looking downward. Look up, because God is above. God is up high, and God is exalted. Or perhaps a better word to use there in the Hebrew is advancing. Not in the Hebrew, in the English translation. That God is exalted. He is actively advancing. In other words, God's not going down like some chump in a fight. No, God is actually winning this fight. He and his kingdom is advancing. Uzziah was no longer advancing. He dead. Uzziah's not advancing any longer, but when Isaiah saw the Lord, he couldn't help but notice a God who is high, a God who is exalted, a God who is advancing. Someone say, high and exalted. That's what my Lord is. Number two, he was seated on a throne. Is that what it said?
Yes.
Isaiah saw the very throne room of God. You keep reading, it talks about angels, seraphim. And they don't look like you think they look. They've got several sets of wings, and only two of their wings actually fly. The rest of their wings actually cover themselves. It's really interesting. But they cry out. What? They cry out. They sing. They cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It's all they ever sing. It's all. This is the throne room of God. This is heaven. This is the throne room. Are you telling me that a guy in the worst kind of year saw right into the throne room of God? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you can look right into the throne room of God and see the secret things of God. See the power and glory of God on full display. I'm telling you, you don't need your pastor to draw you a picture of it. No, I'm telling you, God can open that window of heaven so where you see what you've never seen before. Isaiah saw the very throne room of God. But I want you to notice something. Although that throne room has to be a beautiful sight, right? You're right. Gorgeous sight, right? Isaiah spends no time describing the throne room. Doesn't talk about how big the throne is. Doesn't talk about diamonds and jaspers. Doesn't talk about streets of gold. He talks about the king who's on the throne. His full attention is on the one who is on the throne. That's what a big deal our king is. I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, that other stuff's going to be cool. But it is a footnote. The real display is the king, the lion, the lamb who is on the throne. I don't know about you, but I want to see him. I want to see that Lord who is high and exalted, and I want to see him seated on his throne. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. That's what I want to see most in my life. I want to see it. The death of the king of Israel, it didn't dethrone the one on the true throne. It didn't dethrone God. Can I tell you, COVID-19, injustice, poverty, or the other funerals that are on this earth right now, they have not dethroned the Lord either. You need to declare that in your life. When the bad things happen, you need to just declare, God, you are still on the throne. And you are still receiving all my praise and all my worship. God, you're still on the throne and you still have all power. Even though bad things have happened to me in this life, I know that you are the giver of all good things and you are still on the throne. I'm telling you, he is still seated on the throne. My gosh, the devil wishes he could get him off that throne. Nothing's going to get him off that throne. I saw the Lord. He was high and exalted, and he was seated on the throne. And then it says this interesting thing. And it says, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, we are not talking about Thomas the Train. We're not talking about a choo-choo. I think I can. We're not talking about that kind of train. We're not used to seeing kings in robes. In America, we're not used to seeing kings at all. But this idea of a king wearing fancy robes, that's very foreign to us. Well, this robe had a long flowing train. In these modern times, we are more used to seeing a bridal gown, a bride at a wedding with a long train that follows after her beautiful white dress. That is the train that we're talking about. Right here, we see a king with a robe, with a train on it, and that train fills the entire what?
Temple.
The temple. Ancient kings wore robes with trains. The longer your train, the more glorious a king you were. There was also another ancient tradition. You listen up. You're going to want to hear this. That when one king would defeat another king in battle, the winning king would come up to the defeated king. He would take a sword and he would cut off the train of the defeated king's robe. And then in ancient tradition, that victorious king would take that newly apprehended train and he would have it sewn to the end of his train. And with every victory, his train would become longer. And when you saw his train, it meant that he was glorious and he was victorious. And to see his train meant that many of our enemies had fallen. Many of the other kingdoms that menace harm had fallen. I want to tell you that when Isaiah saw this long train, what he saw was a God full of glory and a God that's full of victory. I want to tell you today that in his train is the victory that you are fighting right now. The victory you are seeking right now. He is already cutting it from the enemy. He's already attaching it to his train. Somebody's drug addiction, he just defeated that enemy. He attached it right to his train. Somebody's depression, oh my goodness, let the Lord attach that to his train. Somebody's poverty, somebody's marriage that's about to break apart, let God win that victory over the enemy. He will take that kingdom. He will take that train. He will add it to his train. And when we see him, we are going to see a God that has endless glory and endless victory. I want to tell you that our God, he has never lost a battle. Nobody has ever come up to him and removed his train. Nobody. Nobody. My God has all victory. Oh, he is the victory banner. He is Jehovah Nissi. Do you know what that means? That means that he is my victory banner. All he does is win. All he does is have victory. And every king of this world is going to bow to their knee. Kings that are spiritual, kings that are physical. Every one of them that's trying to rule in this world, they will all bow down and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
My God. His train filled the temple. It just didn't say it was long enough that it kind of went into the temple. It says that it filled the temple. Let me ask you this. What temple? This is interesting. I like stuff like this. Jeremy likes stuff like this. I know he does. What temple? You know about, we talk about kings. A lot of people don't know there's more than one temple, right? You have the tabernacle. That's a smaller mobile temple, right? That went through the wilderness journey. right? That's a small, it's not that temple. Well, at this time, there is Solomon's temple, and it's a big temple, it's glorious. It's not that temple. Later, there'd be another temple. Nehemiah, Ezra, after the exile, they come together, they build the temple. Later, it's called Herod's temple. Got torn down in 70 AD. It's not that temple. What temple? Well, remember, he's looking into heaven, and he sees the throne room of God. I'm telling you that he sees heaven's temple. Let me tell you, this temple is bigger than you can imagine. The Bible says in Revelation 21:16, John measures the heavenly temple of God, and it measures 1,500 cubic miles high, 1,500 mile cubic wide, 1,500 cubic miles deep, 1,500 miles in every direction. That is a measurement of God's temple. In fact, we can't even really picture this because it would be jetting out into outer space. That's his temple. And that temple is filled. I don't even know if they have the room for the furniture, because it is filled with victory after victory after victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. With the train of his robe. I'm telling you that he is still adding to that train. He wants to defeat your enemy today, and his train will just grow and grow and grow. His long train represents his overcoming victory. God, the King of heaven and of earth, he has never lost a battle. And all of your enemies, God is defeating them, every one of them. And all the kings of this world, God is going to cut their trains, and his train will be everlasting. Amen. In the year of funerals, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw a Lord who has never lost a battle. In the year 2020, I see a God who has never lost a battle. You may feel defeated right now, but don't mistake your feelings for truth. Your feelings are not necessarily true. We walk by faith, yes, not by sight, not by feeling. We walk by faith. God reveals truth to us. And here's the truth. Your God is victorious. His victories, they're only piling up. His fame is only growing. Nice job, Uzziah, you were known in Egypt. God's going to be known throughout the entire world and throughout all of time in every spiritual dimension. His name is going to be praised. Amen. His glory is only becoming more glorious, and his train fills the heavenly temple. One more time, read this verse out loud with me. In the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah 6:1. Let's get it up. I asked him to read it with me. There we go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I want to tell you real quick, drawing to a close, have the funeral. Look at somebody, say, have the funeral. Go ahead, have it. We need to have a funeral for this dead king, Uzziah. We got to have it. He represents two things. He represents a failed king and a failed priest. Say it. Failed king and a failed priest. When the ancient Hebrew thought of Uzziah, they thought of a king who fell and not one who sat upon the throne any longer. They now thought of one who fell. And they thought of the one who had actually dishonored the temple of God and brought shame to the very temple of God. We need to have a funeral for this failed priest and for this failed king named Uzziah. Can I tell you, your failures need a funeral. Sometimes you just need to have the funeral. Go ahead and have it. Your failures, you should have buried those by now. You know, one of the reasons you have a funeral is because you don't need to see that anymore. Some of you, your failures, you should have buried them by now. Instead, you're letting those failures play over and over in your mind. Your failures are very much laying there as a cadaver right in front of you. You still have an open casket. Go ahead, shut the thing, and have the funeral. Why do you keep living with your failures every day? Have the funeral. Your shame, it should be buried by now. That shame in your heart, oh my gosh, I hope they never find out this, because if they knew, oh my goodness, I know and I can't barely stand it, but if they knew it, you need to have a funeral for your shame. Stop letting that hang around in your life. My goodness, as much as you think about your shame, you might as well have it as a picture on the wall in your house that you see every morning. Because you think about it just that much. And you honor it. Here's a picture of mom. Here's a picture of dad. And here's a picture of my shame. These are the people I think about all the time. These are the things I honor in my life all the time. Because I'm constantly thinking about them. My goodness, it's time to have the funeral for your shame. It's time to have the funeral for your failures. The people of God need to have the funeral. You failed as the king of your life. So did I. Your attempt as priest of your life, it only brought you shame. Have the funeral. And then have a magnificent coronation. Have the funeral and then have the coronation. Have the funeral and then crown a new king. Anoint a new priest. Isaiah is burying a fallen king, but the prophet, he looked up and he saw a king who was still on the throne. Isaiah is burying a shameful would-be priest who brought into question the very temple of God. There were some people that probably thought, man, is it even safe to go back into the temple? I mean, the last person that walked in there, they were stricken with leprosy. He brought all that into question. But the prophet, he looks up and he sees the very temple of heaven is still very much intact. And he sees God in the temple with a robe that represents endless glory and victory. Have the funeral and then crown Jesus the king of your life. Have the funeral and then anoint him the high priest of your life. Go ahead, have the funeral today. Have it today. Don't you understand that you need a death, a burial, and a resurrection? You got to have a death and a burial before you can ever have a resurrection. So go ahead, have the funeral. In a moment, I want us all, everyone in the room, everyone experiencing this somehow through the internet, every one of us, I want us to all repent. I want us to have a funeral today. Welcome to a mass funeral. I want us to lay to rest our failed kingship and then put the crown on the rightful one, Jesus Christ. I want us to stop trying to be the high priest of our life that is good enough, that is clean enough, that is always doing... Stop that. That is a failed priesthood for you. You need to now anoint the true high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no failure in him as king or as priest. I want us to lay all of that to rest today. Are you ready for it? Before we do this, I have one more thing to share, and it's kind of a bad news, good news thing. So let's start with the bad news. We're going to get ready, started. This worship team is going to lead us in just a moment. Look at somebody and say, uh-oh, it's bad news. Here's the bad news. The nation may not recover. You listen to me right now. telling you, the nation may not recover. Israel went straight down. In less than 200 years, the Hebrews would be exiled in Babylon. And Solomon's temple destroyed. And to this day, no one actually sits on the throne of Israel. Israel, we can point to it on the map right now, but I'm telling you, Israel has not ever, to this point, recovered. I would tell you that, spiritually. Absolutely, 100%. No qualms about it. I'm telling you today that the nation may not recover. Listen to me, Americans. Anybody love your nation? I love my nation. My nation drives me crazy most of the time, but I love it. I'm thankful for the freedom we have. I'm very thankful that even with everything going along, that we have the freedom to meet together still. I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful. God bless America. I love to sing that. I pray for America. But you listen to me, Americans, right now. You listen. Our nation may not recover. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. And I'm trying to get your eyes on the right thing. Some things do not recover in this life. That's why we have funerals. We preach and believe in resurrection power. But right here is an example of the very people of God going through hardship, going through struggle, and even going through judgment. When you come to this altar today, I am asking you, I'm begging you, please don't pray this. Do not pray this today. God, please resurrect Uzziah. Do not pray this in the altar today. Whatever your Uzziah is, don't come to the altar with that being your prayer. God, resurrect this dead thing in my life. Not today. No. It's time to have a funeral today. There are some things that may not ever recover. Are you done with the bad news? It's heavy. It's heavy. You needed it. I needed it. Good news. Isaiah saw the Lord. While his nation's direction was going towards destruction, and it never turned around, Isaiah even received the word of God, delivered it, and Israel never turned around. They just kept walking right towards destruction. Even while that was happening, Isaiah looked up and he saw the Lord, and he received a revelation. He received a calling, and he received a message. And in that moment, his life changed forever. And we literally have this picture of a nation going this way. But a man of God, a woman of God, can see the Lord, and their life can now go this direction. I'm telling you, there is victory this direction, even if the nation doesn't follow. There is victory in this direction, even if your friends and your family do not follow you. What changes all of this is when Isaiah sees the Lord. I have zero messages for America today. Zero. I would tell you that America has had enough messages. They've got to repent. I have a message for you. For you. For you. For you. I really, you know what? I love America, but I care more about you today. This country and this world may walk right towards destruction, but you don't have to. You can go the other way. You can look up and you can see the Lord today. Even if we don't, if our nation falls so badly that we can't put food on the table anymore. Even if our nation fails so badly that we don't get freedoms and rights and privileges anymore. Even if we are losing a war. I'm telling you, even if the social fabric of our nation falls, rips right in half. I'm telling you that you can still see the Lord. And you can still receive everything you need to walk into a new direction. You can look up. You can see the Lord. When? Today. Right now. He's there. He's on the throne. Right now. He's not hiding. He's looking for somebody who will look up. This can become the year that you see the Lord. This could become the day when you think about church services. Oh, people like to think about good church services. This could be yours. This could be yours. And in 10 years, you might not even be able to remember what was preached. But in the next few moments, you can have an experience with God that you'll never, ever, ever forget. You want that. You can have that today. Very quickly, we're going to look at how Isaiah responded to seeing the Lord. And then we are very quickly going to start talking to God. You get ready. Let these words prepare you. Verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. Isaiah cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar of God, the places where your sacrifices go, the places where your sins are all forgiven. He takes that coal from the altar. Verse 7, with it he touched my mouth and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. He had a moment of repentance there, didn't he? I want to tell you, nobody sees the Lord and is like, yeah, it was cool. I totally deserve to be there. Nobody is that way. I want to tell you, if you want to see the Lord today, you need to be ready to repent. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve to see him. I don't deserve to feel his presence. I don't deserve to hear him. Woe to me. I shouldn't be here. Is what Isaiah says. But the actions of God said, yes, you belong here. And I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to atone of all your sin. And I'm going to remove all your guilt. Somebody, you hear me. God has that for you right now. All your guilt. He's going to walk right up to that guilt. He's going to defeat it. He's going to rip the train off that king you've been serving. He's going to be just part of the wonderful victories that he is attached to his kingly train. Who wants to see the Lord today? These altars, they're open right now. Is there anybody with unclean lips that wants to come talk to the Lord in this place? Is there anybody that wants to have atonement for all of their sin and have all their guilt removed? Who wants to hear his voice today? Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone in this room. I pray for everyone listening and watching online. We have been in the year of the funeral. But God, you show up even in that terrible year, even in the worst, you show up and you make everything new. You make everything beautiful. You bring life to the dead places in our life. Father, right now I pray for every person that they would look up, that they would sense your presence, that they would see you as you are, that they would hear your voice, that they would repent of their sins. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, forgive us of our sins. We are sinners, God, and we have said the wrong things. We have unclean lips, and we have unclean hearts, and we have unclean eyes and unclean minds right now. In Jesus' name, forgive us. Woe to us, God. Please take the coal off your altar and cleanse these lips of mine. God, please come
and cleanse me on the inside out, God. I want to not only see you, I want to be in your throne room with you. God, I want to be in your presence. I want to be serving you. I want to be closer to you this year than I ever have. Lord, come remove all this sin so I can be closer to you. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, God. Come touch somebody's guilt. Come touch somebody's shame, God. Come deliver them, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray. Come on, church, let's reach out to the Lord. If you want prayer in this place, come ask for it right here. We'll carefully pray for you. You watching online, ask somebody to pray with you online. They will pray with you. God will meet with you right there.
Won't let go. Fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. Got every reason to be here again. The Father's heart pulls me in, and all my eyes want to see is a glimpse of you. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. One more day and it's not the same. Your spirit calls my heart to sing. Drawn to the voice of my Savior once again. Where would my soul be without your Son? Gave his life to save the earth. Rest in the thought that you're watching over me. All I need is you. Do you believe that? All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord.
Is you, Lord.
Listen. You hold the universe. You hold everyone on earth. You hold the universe. You hold. You hold. Sing it with me. You hold. Your word frees me.
All I need.
Your word delivers
you,
me.
Lord,
the blood of the Lamb forgave me and atoned for me.
All I need is you.
Hallelujah.
All I need is you, Lord.
Is you, Lord.
All I need is you. need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord.
This is the reason why God holds. Whenever and wherever,
I say yes. I say yes.
Wherever you want me to go,
I say yes. I say yes to you. I say yes. I say yes. I say yes. I say yes to you. I say yes. I say yes.
Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go.
I say yes.
Can you say yes?
I say yes to you.
Lord, whoever you want me to speak to, I'll speak to them.
I say yes.
You anointed me to do this. You saved me for good works. God, move on me that I have the boldness to do what you say do. Can you say that?
I say yes to you. I say yes.
I say yes. I say yes. Move on me, Lord.
I say yes to
moving the will.
I say yes.
Lord, I want to do your will.
I say yes.
Lord, I want to work in the way that you want me to.
I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes to you.
Lord, I say
yes.
Lord, I say yes.
I say yes.
I open up my mouth.
I say yes.
And I will speak your words, God.
I say yes.
I will declare your deliverance, God.
I say yes.
Because your son died for this purpose.
I say yes.
And I say yes.
I say yes.
Lord, I have no fear.
I say yes.
But God, you gave me the victory.
I say yes.
So I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes. Whatever you want me to do,
I say yes.
Yes, Lord. I say yes. Yes, I say yes to you. Yes, I say yes.
Yes to your will.
I
yes to your
yes.
truth. Yes to direction.
You hold
the universe.
The universe.
You hold everyone on
you
earth.
You hold
yeah.
everyone on earth.
Jesus, you're holding
you hold
us up. Jesus, you're holding us up, God. You're lifting us up, God. You're everything. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hey, sing that old school yes song. Oh, that one, that Kojic one, that yes. Yes. Sing that for me.
Yes.
Bless me.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, there's this wonderful tradition in the gospel church where entire sanctuary would just sing one word to the Lord in the words, yes, sing it again. Y'all learn it, sing it.
Yes.
Yes to your will.
Yes.
Yes to your ways.
Yes.
Yes all day.
Yes.
I'll do what you want me to do.
Yes.
I'll go where you want me to go.
Yes.
I'll sing what you want me to sing.
Yes.
I'll live like you want me to.
Oh, yes.
Lord,
one more time, say,
yes.
Yes, all day.
Yes.
Yes, when I wake up.
Yes.
Lord, yes, when I'm lying down.
Yes.
Clap your hands if your answer to him is yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God is so good to us. God is good to us. I want to tell you that God wants you to be stronger. He wants you to be so strong that everyone around you goes, whoa, what is in their Wheaties right now? Because they've got a strength I don't know about. We're living in a time where everybody's freaking out. What needs to happen is that some people of God, full of faith, full of joy, that don't get caught up in all the blah stuff of today, all the argument stuff, mask, no mask, whatever, all that. Just let that go. Just stand up, be strong, be full of light, be full of love, be full of truth. And every step of the way, you're just telling God, yes, 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 yes. You want me to talk to those people? I say yes to that. You want me to give some money out of my wallet to someone? I say yes to that. And you're just walking around with this yes in your heart. We need that. We need that. And let me tell you, there is an unbelievable strength in that. Somebody say yes if it's true.
Yes.
Amen. Marshall's going to come do service clothes for us. I love every one of you guys. You can clap for this dude. I love Mr. Marshall Blessing. Yeah. God bless you, dude. We'll give some.
Yes.
And if you don't know, he has got this little shirt here says NASA all over it. This is my man. This is my man right here. This is the dude right there. I love him. Service clothes. I love this guy.
AG, 2G. A couple quick notes. Number one, Ackley personally gave me this shirt. He's awesome. He has the good taste. I just am the beneficiary. And tomorrow is the anniversary of the moon landing. So that's why I wore the shirt. Yes. Oh, that's the anniversary of when they filmed it. All right. No. All right. Thank you, God, for all the amazing things you allow us to do. He holds the universe. He holds everyone on earth, and that includes you. There's nothing that can take you out of his hand. There is nothing you're facing that he can't help you through. And that also means he's holding that little girl, Kennedy. He will see her through this. Be lifting her up in prayer. Be lifting up her family this week. All right. Whenever we gather, we do three things, and we have done those three things. And then whenever we leave, we encourage you to do three things. We want you to make them a part of your week. And here they are. Number one, connect with God. I hope you had a coronation here today. You renewed your belief that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, be connected to him throughout your week. If he is the king of your life, be connected to him. Live in his kingdom. Go and seek ways to honor him wherever you go and whatever you do. Be connected to the Lord God Almighty. He is alive. He is the living Lord. And wherever you go, he will be there with you. Look for ways to connect with him. You can see the Lord wherever you go, wherever you are. Do you want to see the Lord? Well, look, raise up your eyes and look and reach out to him. Connect with God. Number two, connect with other believers. Reach out. We need one another, especially in times like this. But when we get together and exalt the Lord, that's awesome. We are lifting him up together wherever we're at. And with all the communication technology we have today, we can get together without being physically together. So give a call this week. Reach out on Facebook or social media or something and connect with your fellow believers. Connect with your brothers and sisters in Christ and lift him up. All right? So connect with other believers, then connect other people to the love of Jesus Christ. There's a whole world out there that doesn't know Jesus. They don't know that the Lord of creation is alive and loves them so much, even in the midst of this crazy year, the midst of all the stuff, the terrible news, all the horrible things going on this year. The God of the universe is alive. He is on the throne, and he loves you. He loves them. There's people that don't know that. And if you don't know that, then yes, it seems like a really awful year. This is the worst. Man, I don't know how they make it through each day. But when we know that the living Lord loves us and is with us, man, that trumps anything that's going on in this world. Any bad news, if coronavirus mutates tomorrow and it starts turning people inside out and it becomes twice as contagious and there's nothing we can do, God is still the Lord. He still loves us. He is still greater than anything we're going to face throughout this year. Well, you can take that love, that message of hope to the world. You can take it out there. The world needs it. You have it. Can you share it? That is one way to exalt the Lord, to put him on the throne. That's what he's calling you to do. Do you say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? He's sending you right now to go and let the world know how much Jesus Christ loves them. That's the third thing we do. So do that this week. Make those three things a part of every day this week, all right? We got connect groups going on this week on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Pay attention to Facebook to look for details about that. Invite your friends. Sometimes we do those digitally as well as in person, so you can have your friends involved even without them leaving their house. You can tie people in. We got people connecting to connect groups that don't even live in this area. They're dialing in from far and wide. So we want to connect with people. We want to connect them with Jesus. So invite your friends to that. Anything else coming up we need to mention? Sounds like we're good. We love y'all. We hope you have a fantastic week. Jesus is the Lord. He is alive. He is on the throne. Have a great week. You are dismissed.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.